patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Good morning and welcome to the walk-off, everybody. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. It has been a trying week of baseball if you are a Blue Jays fan. You know what keeps going through my head, Adam, and I know I'm only torturing myself by doing this, but I can't help but think back to the ninth inning against Seattle in that final game at home of the homestand. Two outs, bottom of the ninth, 3-2 count, and Jimmy Garcia paints the corner and doesn't get the call. Like, we were just one strike away from, I'm not saying that this losing streak wouldn't have happened in Boston anyways, but man, that strike, I can't stop thinking about it. And I know that's not how baseball works. And I know that being just a little pouty baby is not the way to go about it either. Like, the amount of times my wife has been like, "What's wrong, Scott?" And I'm like, just thinking about the Blue Jays. And she's like, "Stop it."
I'm just picturing you like with your head leaned against a rainy window, just like,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's exactly. Okay. So we do have lots to talk about here. So we are going to get to it. We'll get into this 5-game losing streak. And thank goodness they're getting the fack out of Boston. We have three studs and a dud, and buddy, you had to really, you had to do some digging
digging this week. Yeah. The toxic positivity really came out this morning. So
we've got this week's preview. The team is in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and gang, so am I. I'm pretty pumped. I'm actually in Meadville, Pennsylvania, as we speak, about an hour, 15 minutes from Pittsburgh. Taylor, my wife and I, we got up at 3:30 a.m. yesterday. We hopped on a 6 a.m. flight to Toronto, got in there at noon, rented a car, drove down to Meadville. We got into Pennsylvania around 7 p.m. It was a long day, and did not catch the Gausman start, which I had time. I had time. We got in and it was the fourth inning and I looked and it was 11-3. Pretty tough to motivate yourself to turn on a game when it's 11-3 after four straight losses. Yeah. But from what it looks like, Gauz did not have it last night. Not locating his spots, getting hit hard. Obviously, we are going to talk about that. Springer is slumping big time. We're going to talk about a possible batting order shakeup and what it would look like. Ricky Tiedemann, it just felt like it was raining and pouring yesterday. Ricky Tiedemann pulled from his game with New Hampshire Fisher Cats, AA affiliate of the Blue Jays, last night in the fourth inning. We'll talk that, give an update. There's not much of one, but we will get into it. And then we are going to do a full minor league Blue Jays roundup update on what's going on with some of those guys like Haggy D, Yasser Zulueta, Spencer Horowitz, and Mitch White update. And then we'll also, that's how we'll wrap things up there. We'll tease MLB Mondays, our new Patreon exclusive.
There you go.
Yes. Okay. Before we get right into it, buddy, I want to show you something.
Oh, look at that.
The bad taco.
Look at that. Oh, yes. Lovely.
So for all of you grounds crew who have been with us and know all about the bad taco, this will be available within about a week. So if you're into the bad taco merch, yes, we're finally getting merch. There you go. Very good. My brand new pitching ninja hat. Look at that, eh?
Yeah. Which we are also reselling at a high, high markup.
at a much higher rate than I bought it for, which is already a very high rate. Okay. Have you noticed that I've been trying to avoid getting into this first topic, but it is a rough one. The Boston Red Sox.
Buddy.
I don't know. It was a perfect storm, man. The Blue Jays pitching fell apart. The defense fell apart. Despite the fact they were still putting up runs, the attention to detail mantra that they have said was their slogan for 2023 went right out the window. Red Sox pitching showed up. Their hitters are as hot as they possibly could be. And right now, the Blue Jays sit at 18-14, half a game back of the 19-14 Red Sox. Who saw that coming as they went into Boston 5-1 after that six-game homestand? So this was a tough one. Listen, this is as much for me as it is for you, the grounds crew listening right now. 162 games. It's a long season. These bouts with losing happen every single year to every single team. The New York Yankees won 99 games last year. And in August, they went 10-18 with two different five-game losing streaks. Good teams go on losing streaks.
Well,
but damn it, is it tough as a fan to deal with, eh?
We've sure made it hard on ourselves to repeat our record against the Red Sox from last year. We went 18-1 against the Red Sox.
Not happening. It's not happening this year. And honestly, man, losing to a division rival, isn't it just that much more of a sour taste in your mouth? Like, it would be tough to get swept by the Royals and we would all be losing our mind. But let's face it. A four-game sweep at the hands of the Red Sox in Boston.
Couldn't have taken one game.
Couldn't have taken one game. And who saw that coming after this? This is what really has been so difficult about this five-game losing streak, man, is that the reason the Jays were 7-2 going into this stretch was their pitching. They literally had the longest run of quality starts since 2016. Going into this. And then the problem has been the pitching.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin with my frustrations. Like, it is.
Well, let's talk Kevin Gausman briefly. Did you watch his start last night?
No.
We both missed it.
I have a kid with pink eye. I've been.
Oh, being a good dad. How could you? How could you do this?
You know what?
Well, the Jays are as cold as they possibly could be.
She picked a good week to give me an excuse to not watch baseball.
Yeah. Well, I was texting with Joel, hey, call me, who watched it. And he was just telling me that Gaz had a rough outing and they were on his fastball. So I'm not sure if it was... You know, guys have games like this. I don't wish to completely blow this out of proportion, but a five-game losing streak is really difficult to deal with, and Kevin Gausman is the dude that you were really hoping would come in and be the stopper. You were really hoping he would be the guy to take this team, put him on his shoulders, and end it, right? End this losing streak.
I like that. I don't know. Was it a Spencer tweet that you shared? It was like Kevin Gausman is supposed to stop the bleeding, not remove the tourniquet.
Yes. Great tweet. Just a fantastic tweet. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, what else can you say about how ugly the pitching looked? It was a 5-for-5 effort.
Yeah.
And that was pitching staff. Like Chris Bassett, ERA 7.2, Berríos 8.4, Kikuchi 10.3. Alec Manoah, the best one with, four earned runs? I don't know. Like, it was just all across the board. It just felt like the Red Sox had something on us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying, like, I mean, I'm definitely not saying this was like a Spygate situation where whatever. But, you know, there's definitely instances where a guy or a pitching staff or maybe the way the catcher is setting up, there is a tell that gets discovered that isn't necessarily league wide, but someone cracks the code on the way Danny Jansen's setting up behind the plate or whatever. Yes. Right. It felt like something like that where they were just all over us.
They were. They absolutely were. And you know what? I do want to talk attention to detail a little bit, because there are just moments throughout this series that were absolutely maddening. And the moment that really stands out to me was game three, fifth inning. The Jays are up 3-2. Dalton Varsho is on third base, and Adam, there is nobody out, and they don't score that run.
Yeah.
And there are examples of this throughout this series. And it wasn't so much that the offense went completely cold. They just didn't come up big when pitching needed them to bail them out.
Yeah. The Chris Bassett start, I think it was, when the Red Sox went up 4-0 in the first inning. And then the offense did kind of bail them out, but then we ended up blowing it.
Yeah.
In the late innings anyways. That felt just like the perfect omen, or like the example of what we had waiting for us this week.
Yeah, the bullpen let us down too. Like, this is the thing, man. It was a team effort in this losing streak. And so the best thing that this team can do is get the fuck out of Boston, get into Pittsburgh today, ready to turn the page. We are going to do the week preview. Obviously, they're in Pennsylvania. They're playing the Pirates. They're playing the Phillies. They're playing National League teams that haven't seen their pitching. Chris Bassett is familiar with these Pirates players, so hopefully Bassett can kind of dig his heels in and be the Chris Bassett we've seen most of the year. Bassett's had two bad starts this season. And this is something that if Adam did the work on this. Adam did the homework. He went over Bassett's starts last year. And Bassett very much is a guy who's either fooling everyone or they know something. They get the hitters are dialed in on something and they hit him. And yeah, it's normally three games out of four.
Yeah, he's not like two or three runs over six innings every single game. It's like
he's not Mr. Consistency
of greatness and then one game of ugly. So this, exactly. We knew this was coming. Unfortunately, I hate to say I predicted it, but this is what we expected. It just feels worse because everybody had their letdown game back to back.
Yes. Yeah. Not ideal at all. So before we get into this week preview in Pennsylvania, Adam went over the numbers. He did his best to find three studs and a dud. We could have flipped the script on this and done three duds and a stud, but that is not the name of this segment. So Adam, put a little bit of positivity to this. Who amongst these Blue Jays players are worth mentioning as studs over this five-game losing streak?
Well, I guess we'll start with number three stud of the week. It's about darn time. Dalton Varsho had himself a decent week.
He did.
So number three on our list, Dalton Varsho, two home runs. Batting average, .296. OPS, .889. Looked pretty good. It was...
He did.
His numbers on the season still aren't very good, if I'm being honest. But...
Yeah.
It was a good week for Dalton Varsho offensively. Defensively, there was no issues. No gaffes. Not expecting any from him anytime soon. He is as rock solid as it gets.
And it was really nice to see, too. It was really nice to see, because Dalton Varsho has been an absolute stud in the field since we acquired him. He has been everything that was touted. He was everything that was predicted. We didn't see the power stroke quite as quickly as we would have liked, but he's had four home runs on the year, and he's still on pace for pretty much that 27 home runs he hit last year in Arizona. He changed his swing coming into the season, which is always a tricky thing to do. He's trying to become a more complete hitter and not be quite so pull heavy. And that is something that we have seen him do and succeed with as a Blue Jay, although we have seen him go hot and cold. So to see him come out of this cold snap that he was in and put up some numbers while the rest of the team was struggling, very good to see. Dalton Varsho, stud number three.
Stud number two, we've got Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yes.
Had himself a good little week. Again, he's been hard to say disappointing this season, but it has felt a little underwhelming. Maybe my expectations are just too high on Vladdy, but Vladdy now sitting at 7 home runs, 320 batting average on the season, and an OPS of 932. His week.
I do want to point out, Adam is disappointed in Vladdy, and you just heard his numbers.
Aren't you a little disappointed in Vladdy?
I don't know, man. I kind of feel the opposite. I'm not thrilled with where Vladdy's at, but I've been pleased with how consistent he has been in this lineup. He has been a 320 hitter the whole season. He's looked good. I was hoping for more power. I really was hoping Vladdy would be at double digits by this point. I kind of had this envision of him being around that 2021 power guy, right? Hitting that 45 to 50, and he's more on pace for, you know,
It's a 35 home run pace that he's on right now.
It's a 35, which, you know, like,
40 is really hard to do. Runs,
exactly. We're maybe being a little harsh on the guy, but stud number two, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
His week looked like this. 276 batting average, 2 home runs of his own. OPS led the team this week, 896 OPS. Vladdy, it was a good week for Vlad.
Can I guess the top stud?
I mean, it's unprecedented, but yeah, let's do it. Stud number one, Scott, who do you got?
It's got to be Bo.
It's Bo Bichette, of course.
It's got to be Bo. Like,
of course, of course. I mean, he had the 5-for-5 game in Boston that we wasted.
Yes.
Which, by the way, speaking of wasting good performances, my Edmonton Oilers, and I say that as someone who never cheered for Edmonton until I moved here. Okay? But now, as the proud owner of a Leon Draisaitl jersey, okay, a child's medium. It's my daughter's, but whatever. It's in my house. Had a 4-goal effort in game one of round two there against the Vegas Knights. It wasn't
in a loss.
If you told me Leon Draisaitl scored 4 goals, I'm like, oh, sweet. We're up 1-0 in the series. No, we are not. We lost. So kudos to the Oilers for still finding a way. But hey, at least we're not the Boston Bruins, right? Like, they had one of the greatest regular seasons of NHL history and first round exit.
65 wins. Wow. I still can't get over the fact. And man, the Panthers. Matthew Tkachuk is killing me as a Flames fan. Like, killing me what he is doing right now. I mean, the Florida Panthers were supposed to, we will get back to baseball. This is
no, we
a real left turn here, but that's how the Jays have done. This turns into a Panthers podcast. but seriously, like, Matthew Tkachuk has put that team on his back. And I mean, we all knew Florida was a good team and just didn't show it for the first half of the season. But yeah. I always kind of described what happened with the Flames as like someone reached into their chest, grabbed their heart, threw it on the ground, grabbed another heart, shoved it back into their chest, and was like, okay, go. And a similar thing happened with Florida, right? Like, two of their, with Huberdeau and Tkachuk swapping spots like that, you know, Uyghur coming in. It's just a very different core. Florida pulled it together. The Flames did not. Anyways, I'm spiraling here. Let's get
Flames panic in the middle of a 5-game losing streak. It's a PTSD situation.
Yeah, now it's all coming together. All of my sports anxieties. I'm just like, it's all the same. The ship is sinking.
So let's get back
right now. Yeah, sorry.
let's get back. Bo Bichette, stud number one of the week. Went 9-for-30, good for a 300 batting average. Added 2 home runs of his own, 7 RBIs. Here's what I like from Bo Bichette. It's been 24 games since he's last had an error.
Wow.
He now holds a 970 fielding percentage on the season. And I know people are going to yell at me that that is one of the oldest,
most inaccurate stats. Outdated defensive, yeah.
So whatever. Come at me with all the advanced metrics you want. Bo Bichette is playing well defensively. Can we at least agree to that?
Unfortunately, you start looking into outs above average and DRS, he's still up there doing incredibly well. So even if you are trying to put a negative spin on Bo's defense, it's going to be tough on you, which is just good news for Blue Jays fans. Even when we watched the defense struggle in this Boston series, Bo was not one of those struggles, and you love to see it. A little bit of positivity. All right, Adam, who's the dud?
Well, okay, hold on. One little asterisk with Bo Bichette. He had the 5-for-5 game against the Red Sox. I think it was the first game of the series against the Red Sox there. But now that I'm thinking about it, the rest of the time, he went 4-for-25, which is a 133 batting average the rest of the week.
Right.
So he had one really good game. And then probably wasn't that useful the rest of the time. So maybe it should have been Matt Chapman.
In your defense, Adam. Sure. In your defense. It's pretty tough to come up with three studs in a 5-game losing streak where the entire team unravels. So well done. Well,
fair enough. Well, honorable mention to Matt Chapman, who hit 308 this week. And I think was the AL player of the month.
Yes, he was.
So there you go.
I mean, that's the thing, and we are going to get into this after this, the week preview here of Pittsburgh and Philly. We are going to talk the top of the order, and they have been dead, just completely solid, outside of George Springer.
Solid, yeah, that's the word we're looking for.
Yeah,
dead
solid. Yeah.
Rigor mortis, I believe, is the term. Okay.
All right.
Let's get the dud out of the way and then we can move on. Dud this week, several honorable mentions that we could get to. Anybody who held a baseball with the intent of throwing it to Danny Jansen or Alejandro Kirk is an honorable mention this week. The exception of Tim Mayza and Nate Pearson.
Yes.
Both pitched pretty well. 4 games for Mayza. 0 earned runs, a whip of 1.25. So not the greatest, but he got it done. Nate Pearson, 2 games,
lights out,
0 earned runs, a whip of 0.9, 3 strikeouts. And here's the best part, Scott, 0 walks.
Love it. And Adam, Nate Pearson, while you're there, why don't you mention the innings pitched?
3 1/3 for Nate Pearson. He did come in that Red Sox series. Got a 2-inning outing out of him in a relatively high leverage situation. I don't think it was tied when he came in, but the Jays tied it up, and then he remained in the game in the an 8th-inning tie game for Nate Pearson, and he didn't implode.
It was great. It was great to see. And I think we are going to see him moving up the rankings of high leverage guys in that bullpen that John Schneider can go to. The fact that he came in for a 2-inning outing and then an inning and a third, you love to see it. You love to see that kind of length, especially from a guy who was originally supposed to be a starter. So this is something this Blue Jays team desperately needs, especially while Mitch White is on the mend. Somebody who can come in and give an inning or two. Trevor Richards has been kind of the guy that they've been going to for that scenario, but to have another dude with a skill set that varies very broadly from Trevor Richards.
You mentioned Trevor Richards had a really rough start to the week. We were talking, is he the hottest seat in this bullpen? And then he settled in. He settled in really nicely for a couple weeks and pitched really well, kind of pitched himself off of the bubble. Mm-hmm. This week, however, 2 games, ERA 5.4, a whip of 2.1. So a little bit of a disappointment there from Trevor Richards, but he's definitely not the worst pitcher we had this week. So Anthony Bass, 3 games, 9 ERA. Only one strikeout across his 3 games. He got hit hard, continues to get hard. Whip of 2.0. I don't know what else to say about Anthony Bass. I'm kind of over it, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Especially you touched on Mitch White coming back. I don't know what else to say about Anthony Bass, Scott. Dishonorable mention to Anthony Bass. Didn't quite qualify for the dud this week. Yusei Kikuchi had a stinker.
Yeah.
He gave us 4 1/3 innings, gave up 5 earned runs, only 2 strikeouts. That's definitely different than we were hoping for. Fortunately, the dud of the week is one of your guys you've planted your flag in, Scott. It's Mr. Zach Pop.
Yeah, he's
4 games we saw Zach Pop in this week. Was good for 3 1/3 innings pitched. So disappointing right there. A whip of 1.8, just 2 strikeouts. Gave up 3 home runs.
This is how you lose games.
ERA of 13.5. Yeah, it was very much.
Like, this is how you go on a 5-game losing streak, is your starting pitching crumbles, your bullpen crumbles. And that is the story of the last 5 games. You know, like, yeah. we can cherry pick some good performances, but for the most part, man, it has been a team effort in this skid, and the boys need to get it together.
Jordan Romano, they need to flush Boston.
Forget Boston. Do not spend time worrying about it. Like, listen, this is a good team. We're all aware of what this team can do when they're firing on all cylinders, but they had 0 cylinders going. And guess what? If you're just a dead motor, you are going to lose some games. So hopefully they pull things out here in Pittsburgh. Let's get into the matchups. Chris Bassett taking the mound today for the Blue Jays. Who do the Pirates have on the mound, Adam?
You just expect me to have things ready, don't you? It's Rich Hill. I do have things ready.
I know you do. I know how professional you are. Old Man Hill.
How's versus he looking old man season? Bassett.
Old Rich, Man Bassett.
Rich Hill comes into the game with a 4.18 ERA on the season and a whip of 1.39. So Chris Bassett, 5.18 ERA and a whip of 1.24.
Chris Bassett starting the season with a, what was it, 100 ERA has definitely hurt his numbers, but he has substantially brought that down. And I think with a good start tonight, we're going to see him in those fours. And the Blue Jays need a good start out of him. Tomorrow, turning the page, Jose Berríos on the mound in the Saturday matchup against the Pirates. The Pirates, who are they putting on the mound?
Oh, this is a tough name. Johan Oviedo.
I'm so glad that you are pronouncing that and not me. I've got it written down here and I'm like, I'm not even going to attempt this. Adam's got this.
I might have put too many syllables in there. I don't know. He's a 4.78 ERA, a whip of 1.47. Got a lot of walks.
Listen, the Pirates are beatable. The Rays just went in there and gave them their first taste of playing a really good team. And they swept them. So the Jays can win this series, and they should win this series. They need a win tonight. We talk about it's early in the season, and to use the term must win too soon is ridiculous. But truly, 5-game losing streak, they need this tonight. And to end they want to win the series, obviously, but I think it's super important. Probably the most important series of the year.
I think we have a good chance with Chris Bassett on the mound. I think he's gonna be a bounce back. He's not gonna give us 2 stinkers in a row. So Chris Bassett versus the lefty, Richie Hill. I would take the Blue Jays in game 1. Game 2, Jose Berríos. I don't know, man. We'll see which Jose shows up. I've just been burned so many times, you know.
We all go
back to the same boyfriend. He keeps breaking my heart. I don't know what else to tell you. Game 3, we're putting out Yusei Kikuchi. Talk about abusive ex-boyfriends.
Yes, your side
here
piece.
I am.
Yeah.
Loving them anyways. I keep sending them notes in class.
Yeah.
I'm flirting with them. Look, Yusei Kikuchi having a 4.02 ERA on the season, a 1.24 whip. Strikeouts are high, walks are low. That's good. Home runs are a little higher than we'd like to see. Man, there's another tough name here. How do you say this name? Roanzi Contreras? I could say Contreras. What's the first
you sure
name?
Can.
Is it Roanzi or is it just Ronzi?
I would have said R. R. Contreras.
R. Yes. Contreras. Yeah, damn. Someone's going to point out that, like, no, it's a Brazilian name. So the R is actually an H sound. So it's
right,
Onzi
that's right.
Contreras.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyways. Whoever it is, R. Contreras, taking the ball. I don't know. This is a toss-up game too, Scott. It depends which of our parents shows up. That doesn't make sense. Which of our pitchers shows up? The good you say, the bad you say, the good Barrios, the bad Barrios. I feel like we're due for a good week. It's only five games. We have two off days. Should rest the bullpen plenty. What else can I say?
I am expecting big things. I'm there. I don't want to come up. Do you know what a travel
you are
day
there
was
in Pittsburgh?
Yesterday?
Yes. Yes.
It was
there.
Such a long travel day to get here. So these boys better show up. I'm actually sitting behind the visitors clubhouse. This is the most expensive tickets I've ever bought. T and I, I gave this trip to her for her birthday. I was there for the bachelor party in September, and she was pretty jealous. And Pittsburgh is a beautiful city. It blew me away. So I was like, you know, we're going in May. The boys awesome. Look good. So hopefully they show up, because if we need to sit through what the Jays did to any Jays fans that went to Boston for this game, I am going to be some choked.
Yeah,
but I'm positive.
Scott will be there. Go say hi to Scott. Go find him.
Honestly, and I mean that, if anyone's in Pittsburgh and you see me there, please say hello. There's nothing I would like more than to sit and complain about the Blue Jays with you. Or hopefully, if it's in, Saturday or Sunday, we're talking about what a great win Friday was. Okay, so please, I'm very approachable. I'm going to be in my baseball heaven. Okay, drinking beer and watching ball outside. This is all I wish out of life. With the wife next to me, it's a dream come true. So please, be friendly. You know, if you're a grounds crew member and you see me, approach me. Philadelphia, same thing.
Are you in Philly? Are you sticking around? You're going to Philly?
We're going to Philly afterwards. It's
lovely.
A quick hour right and a half there. Jaunt. So, and of course, in Philly, the boys sending out Manoah and, of course, Kevin Gausman. All redemption games for these guys. So hopefully it works out.
Are the Phillies good this year, Scott?
I didn't think the Phillies were good last year, Adam. What the hell do I know?
That's a great point. That is a great point. Phillies sitting at 15-17 on the season. They got a minus 29 run differential. They're sending Matt Stram, mm-hmm. to the mound against Alek Manoah. He's got a 3.38 ERA on the season.
Yeah, Strom's been good.
A whip under 1.098 mm-hmm. for a whip.
Yeah, Strom's been good.
High Ks, low walks, low home runs. That'll be a tough matchup. The next day, we got Kevin Gausman on the mound versus Aaron Nola.
The stud. And Aaron Nola is definitely the best pitcher that this team is facing on this run through Pennsylvania.
Historically, although not having the best start to this season. Aaron Nola's numbers so far this season, he's 2-2, got an ERA of 4.6, a whip of 1.31. You'll take that.
Yeah.
Strikeouts high, walks are low, home runs, he's given up 5 so far. So
yeah,
he is hittable right now. But yes, historically, career-wise, the name cachet, Aaron Nola, probably the best pitcher the Jays are going to face.
Okay, my dude, let's get into George Springer here. George Springer off to one of the toughest starts of his career, I think it's safe to say. And what's been maddening about this dude is that he's still hitting the ball incredibly hard. If you look at his exit velo, you look at his barrel rate, it looks like he should be getting hits, but he has not. And we are sitting here May 5th, okay, Cinco de Mayo. It is time, in my opinion, to shake the lineup a little bit. Now, I know we talked about this in the mailbag. Okay, one of the questions was, should Bo Bichette be leading off for the Blue Jays? And at the time, I said, I don't think there's any possibility of it. I don't think John Schneider's ready to make that move yet. And then we made a bonehead comment about there's no prototypical leadoff guys on this team. I want to walk that back. Everyone has been very loud and vocal about pointing out the fact Whit Merrifield is, in fact, a prototypical leadoff man. He's good on the bases. He's got some speed. He gets on base. He's sitting right now. Like, George Springer's OPS for the year is at 559. Like, it is dreadful. It is dreadful. If you look at Whit Merrifield, his OPS in 732, a lot more palatable. He's got an average of 292 and an on-base percentage of 350. Does that play at the top of the order? Maybe it does. Whit Merrifield's been hot most of the season. He started slow, and of course, he didn't look very good in Boston. But I don't wish to read too much into that Boston series because nobody on this team looked good in Boston. Last year, Bo Bichette was struggling mightily. And I think it was May, might have been June. But John Schneider actually, or was it still Montoyo? Anyways, grounds crew can correct us. But there was a point where he was moved down to the 7 hole. I think it was John Schneider. And this actually helped him a lot. He wound up putting together the best month of his career in September after finding it at the bottom of the order. And maybe this is something that should be considered for George Springer. Personally, I'm honestly not worried about George. His peripheral stats still show that he's going to pull out of it. It looks like he's been incredibly unlucky. And just his track record speaks for itself. I think George Springer is fine. But in the meantime, while those hits aren't landing, maybe someone should be at the top of the order who is going to be getting some production. Because George is the only one not producing at the top of that order. Bo Bichette is being absolutely incredible. He's got to be a top 10 MVP guy if you're just going off of the first 5 weeks of the season. Vladdy, you just talked it, right? Vladdy is doing great. He's hitting over 300 again this season. Matt Chapman is probably the top of the MVP list currently if you're talking just the first 5 weeks. All of these guys are hitting well over 300. OPS is 900 or more. It's insane what the top of this order is doing. George Springer sitting there with a 200 batting average and an OPS under 6. It really makes you grab your collar and go, So in the meantime, while George struggles to put it together, do you think it's worth redoing this batting order? And I'm not saying we necessarily even put Whit at the top, but I am curious your thoughts on moving George out of the leadoff spot and whether it's Bo, whether you just shift the lineup up or whether you move Whit to the leadoff. Where are you at on that, Adam?
Yeah, I don't know. I would definitely be okay with taking George out of the number one spot. I think I tend to land where Haykami resides on the George Springer shouldn't be our leadoff guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, like even when he is hitting his stride. I don't know. Too much. I don't know what it is. So many solo shots leading off an inning with George Springer. It feels like a waste. Move him down. I don't know how far down you go. Whatever makes sense to the people who know better than me.
I wouldn't mind seeing him in the 6 hole. And then that allows you to, whether you're sliding everyone up, right? So that it would be 1 Bo, 2 Vladdy, 3 Chapman, then maybe Varsho, then you go Merrifield, Springer, Belt, and so forth, or however you wish to line this up.
Am I crazy to say I want Vladdy hitting 4? I want a lefty hitting in front of him?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Vladdy's been so good. I like him in that three hole. I like him in the two hole. Chapman's been great hitting cleanup. I don't know.
Give me, here's my lineup, and this is probably a dumb idea, but I'll take Bo leading off. I'll take Kiermaier hitting number two. I knew I'd lose you there.
I hate that, but go ahead.
and then give me Chapman and Vladdy in either order. I want guys on base for my guys that are mashing. I think having the whole point of having a balanced lineup is to benefit the guys that we want to like. I don't see the point in putting the lefty after Vlad, after Chapman. Like, if we want to make tough pitching decisions, let's get the lefty in to face Varsho or Kiermaier, whoever, and then have Vladdy up next. Like, let's get that pitcher, quote unquote, out of his rhythm. That's the whole point of having lefties in the lineup, right? So let's do it. Let's get him out of his rhythm for Vlad. Let's make tough pitching decisions where they're like, well, we can't go to the lefty because right after Kiermaier, we've got Vlad and Chapman coming up. So I don't know. I hate with that, the idea Adam, of just sticking all the lefties together in the middle towards the bottom of the lineup. I just think that's dumb.
My only problem with that is that I don't think he does get on base enough. I think that if you give George or you give Kevin Kiermaier more at bats, it's just going to expose him a little bit more. And then you've just got, I really like Kevin Kiermaier in the nine hole. I think him getting on base, you know, one time through the order for the guys at the top for George and Bo. And I mean, I know we're talking about moving George down the lineup here, but I don't like it. Now, that said, you do have a lot of support. I've gotten messages on Twitter from numerous people being like, I'm with Adam. I think Kevin Kiermaier's got it in him to be in the top of the order. He's done it before in Tampa Bay. He's a guy who is a great base runner and can snag some bases, stretch a single into a double and allow the guys to knock it in. I see.
So here's the thing on base percentage. Cause that's in terms of, I know it's not the be all end all, but in terms of this, Whit Merrifield on base percentage, 350, he's getting on base 35% of the time. Whit Merrifield 323, he's getting on base 32% of the time. We're talking about three extra instances out of 100 with Whit Merrifield on base in front of Vladdy as opposed to Kevin Kiermaier on base. It's right. Only 3 out of 100. So I would take let's get the pitcher out of his rhythm.
Right.
For those three extra times.
Merrifield is hitting an on base percentage of 350 and Kevin Kiermaier's 323. Yeah. Maybe you're right. The dream is George Springer just finds it and it is fine.
Sure. Are you at all worried about George Springer's old?
I'm not worried about him.
You're not worried about that?
I'm honestly not worried about it. Would love to hear from the grounds crew. If you folks out there are freaking out about Springer, let us know.
He's 33. Maybe I should be worried. Turns 34 this season.
Yeah.
Injuries are a thing. How old's Brandon Belt? I hate 35. Even having a sentence where we're putting those two together, but
35. He's 35. Just turned it. Yeah.
George Springer. I hope
one thing we got about
this
George
year
Springer?
And three more years of George Springer. So I hope this isn't the year that he just falls off a cliff.
And I really believe it's not. One thing I will say about George Springer, Adam, is it wouldn't surprise me if his role within the batting order does change as he continues to get older. Maybe he becomes a very good cleanup hitter. I think he would fit very well in the four hole. That is something that I would be completely into seeing, a Bichette leading off, Vladdy 2, Chapman 3, Springer 4. I think that would be excellent. I know you want the lefty in there to break up the righties, but that top of the order is so potent and their splits are so good that I'm not as concerned about splitting them up at the top, right? Get Varsho hitting fifth, have Witt hitting sixth, so on and so forth.
But this whole conversation is born out of a 5-game losing streak where we're what can we do to mix things up?
Exactly.
So both of us are just kind of throwing creativity at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yes. Luckily, right. folks won't take it that way, and we will be called idiots at one point or another. All right, buddy. All right. Some bad news for Blue Jays fans coming out last night. Ricky Tiedemann, the number one prospect in this Blue Jays system. Baseball America even put him as a top 30 prospect in all of baseball. He continues to move up the ranks. Lefty that hits 100 miles an hour with elite secondary stuff. You don't see that out of a 20-year-old very often. He was removed from the game in New Hampshire last night. He pitched 3.2 innings in the fourth. They removed him. He was the one who pulled himself from the game. Immediately following a pitch. Now, honestly, bad news, but good news too, to see the kind of maturity out of a young man to know when something's not right and not try and pick through it. Because we see it time and time again, injuries compounded by the fact that a guy goes out there and tries to pitch through it. Hagen Danner talked to us about this, about how he felt something weird in his arm, went back out there and pitched another inning. And who knows if it actually cost him time on the IL, but that is not something you want to see guys do. So the fact that he was honest and came to the forefront about what's going on with his arm, good news for the Blue Jays. No real update on where he is at. Obviously, they're doing some testing to see what's going on. It is a problem with his bicep and his throwing arm. Not that there's ever good news if it's a tear or something like that, but as long as it is not the elbow.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well,
want to avoid these. We just want to avoid these.
So. No bad tacos.
Okay. Well, this transitions well into checking in on our minor league system. Some of the guys that we've been keeping our eyes on. I know I just brought up Hagen Danner, friend of the show, one of those guys on the 40-man roster that this organization's excited about, was a catcher, throws 100 miles an hour, became a pitcher to save his career. He's got a very good slider and a slightly above average curveball that has just been throwing hitters right off. He looked really good in spring training and then once again had an injury. Now, the good news is he's back. He's throwing 3 innings in New Hampshire, probably just kind of rehabbing and getting his arm right. He is going to be in Buffalo as soon as they feel that he is ready. And he is a guy that I truly believe can contribute to this team this year in 2023. He's got the stuff and he's not young. And when I mean, he's 25, but you know, he's not... Yeah. He's not a kid. Mm-hmm. So he does have the ability to be in those high pressure situations and deal with
it. I sent you this article from MLB.com. This was a potential future closer for all 30 teams. Yes. And they went down team by team. Hagen Danner was their suggestion for potential closers for the Toronto Blue Jays. So we're not the only ones who love Hagen Danner.
Haggy D,
likable guy.
And one thing I do love about Haggy is that, you know, like when he got injured, I sent him a quick message and was just like, hey, man, see you on the IL again. All the best. And he was like, thanks so much, boys. Appreciate you. Next time you need me, once I'm pitching again, let me know. He's always been like this. He doesn't want to talk when he's on the IL, and that's 100% fine. But
fair enough.
Concentrate on getting healthy. But yeah, all the best to Haggy D. Fingers crossed, would love to see him with this big league club down the road here. Sticking with the bullpen and the pitchers within this system that could contribute to the team in 2023, everyone's eyes have been on young Cuban Yosser Zulueta. He is 24 years old. He has struggled with injury problems throughout his career, but has looked healthy, looked really good in spring training. What is Zulueta looking like currently in that AAA bullpen, Adam?
Well, 13 innings pitched across 5 games.
He's got an ERA of 5.54, not the best.
Yes.
Got a whip of 1.846, not the best. Walks per nine. This is what's getting him into trouble. 7.6 right now.
Yes. And this has strikeouts been the big is thing.
Good. Strikeouts 11.1. Strikeouts per nine. You'll take that. But yeah, it looks like he's struggling with control. Struggling with the long ball as well. He's given up 8 home runs, but you know what? When you're behind in the count, you're going to start giving up some hittable pitches trying to get yourself back into it. So
this has been the big struggle with Zulueta, is that he's walking guys and giving up the long ball. That's going to inflate your ERA every time. I mean, whip sums it all up. You cannot be giving up almost 2 walks or hits an inning and expect to come out of the other end successful. So Zulueta's still young, working it, working to get things together. He's got the stuff. Everyone knows he has the stuff. We'll keep an eye on him as the season progresses, right? Like, what do you say?
I'm just laughing because Hagedanner is not a kid. He's not one of the young guys. And then Zulueta, who's still young, is 6 months older than Hagedanner.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, they're both 25, right?
25 and 100 days for Zulueta, 24 and 200 days for Hagedanner.
Okay. Okay. So. Well, then ignore the young and old thing I just said.
That's all right. I'm just totally throwing you under the bus. Anyways, this has been fun, Scott. I know you got to check out in like 8 minutes, so we better let you go.
Well, let's wrap up real quick. Mitch White currently rehabbing. Does look like he's getting very close to being back. He's ramped up to about, I think last time he pitched was at 4 innings. So he is getting close. They are stretching him out as a starter. They're in no big hurry to bring him up to the big leagues, because as soon as they do, they need to make some decisions in the bullpen. So we'll keep an eye on that. Finally, I do wish to bring up Spencer Horowitz, who is having himself a heck of a week in AAA currently. Left-handed bat, first baseman, plays a little bit of left field. Friend of the show has made time for us here on the walk-off, which is always appreciated. He's hitting like 500 with an OPS of over 1300. I know I kind of floated out on Twitter, would it be worth being all of our left-handed hitters are doing almost nothing with the exception of Dalton Varsho. Would it be worth maybe sending Nathan Lucas down, who they haven't given any time to, and bringing up Spencer Horowitz to see if they can catch lightning in a bottle? I don't think they're going to do it. But it's good to see the kid putting up numbers.
So last season at AA, hit .297, showed some power. This year so far, .298, OPS, .872. He plays first base. So yeah, is there a log jam in front of him? Absolutely. I'd rather almost see us giving Spencer Horowitz a shot than strutting Brandon Belt out there.
I am starting to feel the same way. I mean, listen, Brandon Belt's either got to put it together or they got to eat it, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Anyways.
All right. Well, go Jays. Hopefully we see some wins in Pennsylvania. Thank you so much to the grounds crew. We always appreciate you following along and paying attention. Hit that like button. Subscribe if you have not on both the audio and the YouTube side of things. It's, of course, appreciated. We will talk to you for MLB Mondays. Of course, we'll talk a little Blue Jays, but mostly focused on the rest of the league. Long toss on Sunday. We've got some big things to chat about with our panel. We're excited for that. That, of course, goes live 6 to 8 East. Feel free to join us. All the best, everybody. Take care of yourselves.
Bye, Dad.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! With a drive. Cheese and crackers.
Thanks for listening.